This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello to all our Nevan listeners and welcome everyone to Nevan Footy, the number one place to get your Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby in your worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi Tinira Arona T.
Kia ora, Sammy. It's good to be back, mate. How was your weekend?
It was great. I went out to the Moana 2 premiere.
The premiere?
Yep.
How was that? Good?
Great. Saw Jake the Mus.
Was
Tamuera Morrison, he's the dad of Moana.
Was Hey Hey still in the movie?
Hey Hey's still there, yeah.
Oh, nice. Just making sure. That's the
the chicken. He has more of a role this time around too, compared to the other. Yeah.
Nah, looking forward to it. I'm pretty sure you'll share the whole story during lunch and ruin the movie for me, but let's talk some footy. Yes, the footy season, well, rugby league season is finished, but I'll still run through them Pacific Champs teams and give you a bit of a review on my opinion on their performances. Today I will chat Kiwis, Cookies, Fiji, Bulikula, and also the Tongan women's team. And there is a bit of chat around a Samoan versus Tongan international match.
A bit.
Yes, yeah,
so there's a lot.
I think a few Samoans were jealous of the.
They just want to be a part of
the that Tonga was receiving from making the grand final in the Pacific Champs.
Used to have a parade. That's what they want.
All of a sudden, we've got chatter about this Samoan v Tonga game. So let's have a little discussion about that one, Sammy. And then you've also got some rugby union games that were played over the weekend, the European games, and where Fiji and Tonga played. So you'll cover them. And then we've got another huge star, a guest on our show here on Nevan Footy. Her name is Faith Nathan, a Cook Islander, plays for the Australian Sevens team.
Yeah, absolute weapon on the field, try-scoring machines. I think she scored 96 tries in total, only been there for 5 years. So we'll get a little bit of a deep dive into her experience on the rugby sevens circuit.
She is also related to the Berryman family. So she is, it's her father, she said, is a Berryman? Her mother's a Berryman.
Her mother's a Berryman related to the famous and the great All Black late Norm Berryman. So there you go. So we'll rip into that one. So let's get into it, T.
Moment of the week.
T, do you remember the captain for Scotland rugby team?
Yeah, Tongan fella.
Tongan fella, yeah. Remember his name?
Sione.
You just plucked that out of the air. You just got to the most common name. And Sione is what in Tongan? In English?
John.
John, it is. John Tuipulotu. Sione Tuipulotu, the captain for Scotland. He got a surprise visit from his grandmother, who is Scottish. That's how he qualifies to play for Scotland. They flew her over for this game against the Wallabies and surprised him. He thought he was just meeting a fan that won a prize and he was just going in there. His brother Mosese Tuipulotu has also just signed at Glasgow Warriors and is in the Scottish camp. They got to see their grandmother for the very first time in a long time, and this is the first time she's ever seen him play live.
We're about to go surprise a Skyscanner ultimate fan. He's waiting in the change room. Let's go.
Hello.
Graham.
Hello, my wee man. Hello.
Oh, how'd you get here?
I couldn't believe that. Two wee men.
Far out. That's my grand. I gave up on this dream of my grand coming to watch me play over here. Didn't think it was possible.
Well, that explains why he played the way he did against the Wallabies. The man scores the first try and was an absolute wrecking ball.
Hold up, don't steal my rugby news chat on this one. Did you watch the game, did you?
Don't worry, mate. I watched it. But what a moment. Have you had any moments like this?
No, I was spewing. Actually, my grandmother's passed away before my debut, but I would have loved them to not only just see me, but Isaiah and Patrick, all of them play for their country and their heritage and represent our family. But what a special moment that was for Sione and Mosese, and he did play well in that game too.
Hey, I'm Dila Salvar, and I'm listening to Nevan Footy.
Footy news. I heard we're kicking off with rugby union.
We are, my friend. Well, unless there was a game of rugby league somewhere in the Pacific that I don't know of.
Oh, there was plenty.
Where?
There was plenty.
If it was, we would have kicked off first. Now, let's just change it up. We'll go to rugby union first, T. We're going to start with Fiji versus Ireland. Ireland were the convincing winner in this one, winning 52-17. This game was played in Dublin in Ireland. And I was looking forward to the matchup of Bundi Aki, the Samoan centre for Ireland, and Tuisova, the Fijian centre. Both, well, what would you say, like, you know, two beasts, you know, the short, stocky calves the size of my quads.
Two bulls.
Bulls going at it. Exactly. That's a great explanation. Two bulls going at each other.
Or titans just clashing.
Oh, mate, titans. I like that one too. You got any more for me?
No, Cook Islanders. Two Cook Islanders
two
going
Cook
at
Islanders. Definitely not that last one. But that, they went at it, and both of them had a huge presence physically in this game. But seriously, for Ireland, wow, they were clinical in this game. They were very impressive. They starved Fiji of possession, and they just couldn't get into that Fijian style of play that they would have liked to. Ireland, they just executed their game plan to a T. Like, watching them play was like those training runs. You know, when you're training and your coach goes, yep, play this play here, A, B, C, and you run through it and you just execute it. No dramas because there's no opposition.
No pressure. You're
no
just
pressure.
Running through the plays, and, you know, the defenders aren't usually putting their bodies in front, you know, big holes.
Exactly. And you just sometimes you practice all those plays and they never work in the game, the special ones. But Ireland, their first try was off a Moore. So it was a dummy Moore, and they peeled around the front, around the back with the hooker. He throws an inside ball straight through. There was a gaping hole there, and that's what they would have prepared for, hoping that would happen. But it just opened up. They score. They did a tap move, like this fancy tap move, 5 meters out. They declined, gone for 3 points. They set it up, some loops and passes out the back again, straight through. Score from a crossfield kick, you know, a plan move off a scrum. Again, another loop play to create some space on the edges, crossfield, and they score straight away. So everything was happening for Ireland. Whatever they threw at Fiji, it pretty much worked. And Fiji just had no answers. They didn't play poorly at all, Fiji. They just couldn't get into the game. They just starved them of that possession. They didn't let them play in any of the right parts of the field. They were just outclassed and outplayed in this game. But I want to say, like, we can go through, I guess, the whole game, but what I think is important for Fiji, and I think for all their fans and their country to really understand, is this is probably the first time they've ever had to play back-to-back Tier 1 nations outside of a World Cup. And the growth that they've had since the inception of the Fijian Drua is something to be very proud of, just because of the style that they had, they play 15-a-side footy now. They understand in different parts of the field on how to play. So if you're exiting, we know you play minimum of 3 or 4 phases and you kick. They were setting all that up for 15, but in the past, they were trying to play sevens out of everywhere and just, you know, hope everything works and they get those miracle tries that come from nothing, but they didn't really look like they understood what they were doing. But by just scoring freakish tries.
Did they fall back to that plan B, start trying to throw offloads, trying to skip across the field and try and break some defenders, or did they try and stick to that game plan and get back into the match?
It's a good question, because you're right. Sometimes when you go, you fall back into old habits when it's not working for you, but they still stuck to their processes. They still had that flair about them, because, like, if we look at their loose head prop, Eroni Maui, he was so physical in his contact, his ball carries, but was still able to get a couple of little offloads away, but it wasn't over the top. Mm. They were still trying to find a way to break that Irish defense. And even though there wasn't a way, they were still putting in a lot of effort. But as I said, I think there's a lot of credit needs to go to their coaching staff and the Drua and their pathway system on understanding what's required to play 15-a-side footy. And it's exciting because of the fact that they're preparing for 15-a-side, not just hitting and hoping.
One improvement.
I would say they would need to improve around defense. Just they've got a foundation now on how to play, how to defend, you know, like a line out or a more, but it's defending those variations off a line out or more. So if you're defending all week, against Ireland, you're prepping for their mauls because they're pretty good at them.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset is like, we need to prep for mauls. But for Ireland, they understand that you're prepping. So we're going to do that a couple of times. We're going to paint that picture, but then we've got a variation out of it. So that's the next level where the Fijians will need to get to, understanding that, yep, now you've got to a certain level. The best teams are going to be testing your knowledge where you need to be, because from that first try that I was saying around that more pure play, like you saw their blind winger, he just clocked off for that 1 second and didn't think he needed to cover that inside hole, because really it's not his job. But when he sees his opposite number moving away from where he is, he needs to fill that gap. So that would be my only assessment on them, on where they need to improve, just understanding that, okay, we've got this level, we need to...
How do we level up?
How do we level up even more?
Start covering the other players that are coming off the back of this this platform.
Yeah.
This tour for Fiji, do you think this would help the draw in the next Super Rugby tournament next year?
Yeah, absolutely. It will, because the one thing I think they also should be proud of, the amount of homegrown talent, you know, from the islands that have gone from Super Rugby into Test footy.
Yeah, great call.
Where a lot of the times, yeah, some of our Pacific Island players have been exposed to high performance environments already, but a lot of these players are homegrown, and the Drua have set up their facilities to ensure that there is a genuine pathway from schoolboy footy into club footy, into Super Rugby, into Test level to become world class. And I think it's definitely going to help with their campaign leading into Super Rugby Pacific. And I can't wait to get over there to my second home and commentate, because I have been given the gig again.
It's been announced,
I think.
Number one commentator in Fiji.
Is an email chained? Am I allowed to announce that?
Email chain?
Yeah, where they said, yeah, you've got the gig without them officially announcing it.
Or was it confirmed in the email chain?
It was confirmed in the email, but I don't know if they're waiting for
a public announcement. Is it big news?
Huge news. When they break it? Huge, just breaking news.
Who was competing for this other, for the commentator
position? Well, we've still got the great man Greg Clark and the great Fijian Nemanja Nondolo. So hopefully
I have... The dream team is still there.
Still alive. We've got another year
in us. Let's get more games in Super.
We're going. But yeah, Fiji, well done. Get better for next year, and we're looking forward to more results and more games for that for your team. We'll move over to the Wallabies now. They played against Scotland. They lost this game 27-13. The Wallabies were looking to keep their Grand Slam hope alive after their two wins against England and Wales. Wallabies haven't won a Grand Slam tour since
1984. I think I said 86 last time.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know why? It's because they're too much talking about the last time they won the Grand Slam, and then the very first week they lose to Scotland.
You're right, mate.
They should have just kept it quiet. just worry about Scotland. Don't worry about the Grand Slam, mate.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Every time they play the Bledisloe, and if they did win that one, oh, it's coming.
it's coming home.
The drought's broken. Yeah, 40-0. But they were just outplayed in this game. It was tough conditions.
I'm going to start with the biggest news out of this game.
Well, what is the biggest news?
Suoliti getting injured.
Let me get to that bit. We've got to get to the prep beforehand. Yeah, while
beat
they
around
lost.
The bush, mate. Go straight,
go straight to rugby league news.
Fastest point.
I'll get to him. I'll definitely get to him. But it was heavy snow throughout the week in Scotland. So their prep was indoors on the synthetic grass. They were saying that changed up a little bit, but no excuses. You got to play what's in front. Out of the match day 23, we had 12 Nijan stars take the field for the Wallabies.
Great work.
So that's a big plus there, and some class. And then we add in Sione Tuipulotu for Scotland. There's 13 on the field at the one time. So great work there with our Nijan stars, paving the way. Definitely wasn't free-flowing like the other two tests for the Wallabies. Scotland did their homework on them. The ruck speed, they made it a mess. They made it a contest. It slowed the Wallabies' ball down quite a bit, and it just didn't allow them to get on the front foot, and it nullified their attacking threats. Like Rob Valentini couldn't get on the front foot. Lenny Kitau in the centres just couldn't get on the front foot, and they just couldn't capitalise on any of the opportunities that they did make. Missed lineouts, turning down 3 points, and then we'll add Joseph Suoliti getting injured in the 30th minute. You know what I love about Joey, though? From that first game, We talked about his defensive efforts of jamming in.
Mm.
He is a quick learner. Like, honestly, I know it sounds simple that you're going to review, but to be able to implement that straight away, like when he was defending at 13, I just noticed he come up hard with his line speed, but kept his hips square. Like didn't like turn
facing
his,
up the field.
Facing up the field, yeah,
in.
Turning in. And they threw some traffic down his channel early on just to test him out. If they executed, they probably would have gone through, but it wasn't his fault. It's just a good play. But I think in that first game against England, he would have just flown and tried to cut that off by himself, but he really held. And I think his outside men worked with him throughout the week to be able to, okay, if Joey jams, everyone needs to jam and do the same thing. But it was unfortunate that...
You know why? It's because they're listening to you, mate.
You reckon?
Yeah, it's the point you brought up after the first game.
It was that, mate. Like,
well, Sammy said we need to prepare. He needs to stop jamming. Yeah, or if he does jam, the rest of the team jam with him.
Yeah,
kill.
That's it. Joe Schmidt, Wallabies coach, big listener of Nation Footy, loves the show, except he doesn't reply back to any of my messages when we ask for some talent to come on the show. But I'm sure he's busy. We'll get to it in the off season.
That's it. We're not getting any Wallabies on the show from now on.
No, we will, trust me. But one of the guys who did play well for Scotland, and you mentioned it before, Sione Tuipulotu, he scored the first try for Scotland.
That was a great play off the line out.
Over the back, hook up, pinpoint accuracy to a flying Sione Tuipulotu, catching it over the 15. And I loved it too, because there was a point for him to prove, because he was, get this, I don't know if you believe it, but he was overlooked.
Here by the Wallabies.
By
Australian
Rebels.
Rugby.
By Australia. Played Aussie 20s.
By the Rebels.
Mm. And look at him
Scotland
now.
Scotland captain.
Captain. But
beat the Wallabies.
For the Wallabies, you know, plenty of lessons out of that one. There's definitely a lot of improvement from the first half of the year with their test season. They will now take on Ireland next week. And as we mentioned against Fiji, they were red hot. So they'll be licking their wounds and going again in their final tour game. Let's see how they go, because it'll be hopefully they can finish on a high, but it looks like Ireland, I think they're going to get the job done in that one. But for this one, this is one that's disappointing for me. This one breaks the heart. See, can you guess?
The Tongan team went down.
Yep.
Who'd they play?
Georgia.
Oh, you know why? The people of Georgia got into their heads. The Tongan team were walking down, and they're like, I don't feel welcome here.
Yeah, hostile environment, the Georgians.
Get on this field, get off this field, get off this country. Let's get out, get back home.
22-7 against Georgia, and it's been a disappointing year for the Ikaletahi. Only one win against Canada in the Pacific Nations Cup this year. They now slip to 19th in the world rankings. Teams like Portugal, Spain, and Uruguay are now ranked higher than my beloved Ikaletahi Red Army team. So before you know it, they're going to be at the back door with the Cook Islands soon if they don't start getting a few more wins,
I think we're ranked around 15, 16, man.
1,600. But plenty of improvement for Tonga for next year, and hopefully they can improve on all the little areas, especially around defence in that one. In the shortened format of the game, we have the Dubai Sevens next weekend. Unlike last year, where Samoa were in the main series, only Fiji are in this year's men and women's sevens circuit. So disappointed to hear, but Fiji, of course, they're flying the flag in the sevens circuit for the Pacific. The men's pool, we have Fiji in pool C with New Zealand, USA, and Spain. And in the women's, Fiji are in pool A with Australia, Ireland, and China.
And staying on that topic, we will speak to Faith Nathan shortly. Looking forward to that chat with Faith.
Awesome, mate. And that's all I have time for. That's all we have time for rugby union.
No, it was well done, mate. I thought some good.
Thanks for watching rugby too. I was able to bounce off you this week because all the other weeks, it's just me. I feel like my general knowledge on rugby league is so much better than your general knowledge on
is it now?
Rugby union.
Only because I've got about 8 games to cover and I've only got a short amount of time, so I have to go in and out. I can't sit there on 2 games and give it a full detailed description on how each play was. And if you're the coach, listen to this, because you'll be able to defend this.
All
right,
mate, get to rugby
play.
League. All right, get
what
to rugby league.
Rugby league. Speaking of discussions, we are going to have a chat because I know you watched a few of these games, and some of these games you watched actually live. So what we're going to do, where last week we covered a few of the nations and we got some good feedback from the Cook Island community.
Your cousin?
My mum.
Your mum.
She mentioned she liked the feedback on the Cook Islands Women's campaign and the detail we gave about improving and what they could do better for.
So she took that off-field feedback on board?
Well, that wasn't the first time she heard that feedback. So, but yes, people are listening, Sammy. So we're going to
start. Even if it's just our family, that's all good.
The Kiwis, we're going to start with the Kiwis. So they played three games, lost to Australia 22-10, lost to Tonga 25-24 in that close game, and then they beat the PNG Kumuls 54-12 in the promotion relegation game. I think the big thing when you look at the Kiwis is the inexperienced squad. So you've got players missing like Nelson Asofa-Solomona, Moses Leota, the hooker Brandon Smith, and also the key player to this nation, Jerome Hughes. Now, seven players were in the squad. It was their first time that they joined the camp. They made their debuts, guys like Casey McQueen. And, when you just look at, I got to speak to a couple of the Kiwi staff and, asked how camp was going. They love that a lot of these guys got that experience, which goes to my positives. These young boys gaining that experience. I mentioned Casey McQueen scoring four tries in that game against the Kumuls. But I thought they, from losing games to Australia and Tonga, I think they would walk away understanding how to handle these bigger games, how to handle the games with a little bit more emotion. We've seen that game in Auckland and the amount of emotion that happened pre-game leading into that game. And then, when the national anthems and the hakas, they all in the sipitau, when they all, started to take action, obviously there's that big energy that goes into them, that preparation, but then that start of the game, their starts of the games, they weren't the best. So Tonga game, they got shocked from that Tongan team. Even the PNG Kumuls could have been losing that first half from that start. So I think they would gain that experience as a squad and as a nation. And then you bring in these then players that I mentioned that were missing, I think they'll be a lot better for it next year.
When you play, did you ever have an inkling on if your team was going to start fast or not, or if you weren't going to come out of the blocks?
Yeah, I reckon you get a feeling for it.
You do get a feeling, don't you? Do you feel it in the warm-up or even just on the bus ride to the game?
I feel it probably before the warm-up. Like, this is from my experience in the teams that I've played in. Before you go for a warm-up, you get a feeling if the boys are on or if the boys are up in Disneyland in their minds. sometimes when the type of music, and then you look around the room, how the players are behaving, there's some dancing, there's some talking about what happened during the week. But then when I know we're on is when boys are talking about, okay, this is what we're going to be doing today. Look out for this ball. Let's target this player. Boys are reading the team list together. So it's all focused on that, on the game. The Cookies, so Cook Island men's team, they lost to Fiji 56-6, and they also lost to the Kumuls 42-20. Now, you just look at their squad, I think that the quality of the squad compared to Fiji when they played them, Fiji had pretty much every player in that team were NRL, current NRL players. We only, in the Cook Island team, there was only Tipai Moeroa, David Moali, Ruben Porter, Mason Teague, who played in that Fiji game, that played NRL this year. And I think Davey's probably the only one that is week in, week out in that 17 for
Because Tipai, he didn't even have that many NRL games this year, didn't he?
No, not for the Storm. He had a handful, like maybe a few, but even then, they're going back playing Cup during the year. So, but then you're coming up against Tui Kamitha-Mitha, Viliami Kikau, those names that are playing, that are superstars at the NRL level. So you know that the standard is different. So, losing to Fiji 56-6. But then I look at the potential of the Cook Island team. Now, if you're listening and you hear your name, I am talking to you. We're going to bring you back home. Josh Papali'i, Valentine Holmes, Joey Manu, come back from Japan. You got Jordan Rapana, Now, some of these boys have already played.
There's some big names that can make a big difference.
The Cookies, Chance Nickel Klogstad, even your cousin, Isaiah Katoa, could come over when he's finished with his journey at Tonga.
You said your coach doesn't want that. He doesn't want people choosing their team second if they don't make the other team.
Man, we will make room for the cuz. But I think in that camp, being a part of it, got to go in, get a taste of it. They're thinking long term. You know, World Cup is 2 years away, 2026. They'll have to go through the qualifiers next year. So I think that this campaign, they would have learnt a lot of things, especially with the inexperience in that squad. So hopefully next year, when they do have to go and qualify for that 2026 World Cup. Fiji Bulikula, I think they were my most surprising team in the whole Pacific Championships. They proved me wrong. You know, they beat the Cookies 18-6, lost to Samoa 16-12, but I thought, geez, they put up a good fight and they took Samoa to the sword. You know, I think they should be proud of that performance. They were so close to winning it. You know, when they've got a captain like Tale Holmes, who led from the front, scored the first try against the Cook Islands. And then you also have Cassie Staples, who represents the Sharks. She was at the back, always a threat when she had the ball. And then you have halfback Losana Lutu from the Tigers, the way she executed. And then Vitalina Naikore, the way that she scored a hat-trick against the Cookies. So I think the future's bright for Fiji Women's Rugby League, which takes us over to the Tongan women's team. And I thought another team that I thought that they can, you know, hold their head high and be proud of their performance against their loss to Samoa. They lost 16-30. We were there watching the game and just to see some of the girls that were disappointed after. But, you know, I thought it was a very entertaining and tough performance from the Tongan girls. You had, mate, Kate Fallon, that centre, putting on some
shots.
Aggressive shots. Pani Hopoate and Tegan Dimmick, you know, starting up front, who I thought held that middle and went forward pretty strong for Tonga. And then the captains, Natasha Penetani and Vanessa Foliaki, you know, they led well as well. So I thought the girls can be very, they should be proud of that performance. And I thought it was a close game to Samoa. Samoa just had a little bit more quality in the back end of that game. And stay tuned next week where we cover the rest of the Pac Champs teams. But Sammy, this Tongan versus Samoa game, what do you think? We'll go ahead?
Well, it's definitely got to go ahead for one of them for next year with the way the draw is. But the three game series that everyone is talking about, oh, I'd love to see it. But I just, where do you fit it to? Your schedule for rugby league is massive.
I can tell you now that three games, Samoa, Tonga, won't be happening next year or the year after you've got Pac Champs and then you've also got the World Cup that will be happening the year after. So if there was, maybe
in
2027.
But what I will say for this, with all the marketing strategy out there for when you're promoting this Tonga-Samoa game, yes, it's a rivalry. Yes, there's a lot of passion and pride on the line, but please make sure we use the correct
language
to promote the game. Like, it's not a state of origin style of promotion, because the difference between that, it can go either way.
There's a line where it goes.
There is a line where it could go from 0 to 100 at the drop of a hat. So
I looked at the squads, and I'll touch on the Tongan team next week. But when you look at Samoa, the team that they could put on paper.
That's stacked, man. That is stacked.
Like I'd put Roger at fullback, but then I also remembered they also got Suafa'a Longo, who would play fullback. And then you've got, you know, Isaac Tango, Stephen Crichton, Brian To'o, Murray Daulangi in the outside backs. You've also got Jerome Luai, Blaise Talangi would be another half that would potentially be there. Payne Huss.
Spencer Lenu.
Spencer, Terrell, Royce Hunt, big Stefano Otoikamanu.
Is he Tongan in a Samoan?
He's played for Samoa.
But is he Tongan as well?
Maybe.
He could be.
Junior Bolo, Tino Fa'asoma Liawi.
Yep.
Jeez, they got, and then.
And they've got some.
Jeremiah Nanai, Jaden Sua.
They've got some depth coming through. Like, even so, when you see if it is in 3 years' time, some of the ones finishing school now, like Blaise Talangi's younger brother, he's a beast. He plays in the middle or on the edge. Like, he's massive.
What would that look like? So say if we had it at Parramatta Stadium, would you sell the Tongan tickets one half,
side?
The Samoan tickets the other? And I know one side's all the sun, the other side's all the shade. So do you just split it in the middle where half shade, half sun? Or
I reckon that would be amazing scenes if it was one side red, one side blue. The optics from the top, the drone shot. Can you imagine that?
That would be
going off. Just flags everywhere. Tongan singing their hymns. Samoa singing as well.
Could there ever be a parade where they just come together, Samoa, Tonga, and you know, instead of having the separation, one side red, one side blue, mix it all together?
Well, that would be great too. They did it last year, the promotion before they went to on the Northern Hemisphere tour. They had a joint Tonga and Samoa fan day which was it was great. Good. It was great. So they probably need to do a few more of them and then, draw the lines. Once full time's finished, make sure we hug, shake hands, and get together, pray.
Well, there you go, Sammy C. So even though the rugby league season is finished, we still find
a way.
Well, Sammy, let's get to our special guest for today, Faith Nathan.
It's Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
T, we are in for a treat today, my friend. Our amazing guest this week is a Rugby Sevens superstar with the Aussie Women's Sevens team. She made her debut for Australia back in 2019 in Dubai. And since then, she has become a two-time Olympian, Comm Games gold medalist, scored 96 tries and counting. But I think the biggest one of them all is probably the most skillful family to come out of the Cook Islands. Welcome to the show, Faith Nathan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
That's unreal, man. Well, we're going to start straight away with your family. We mentioned the motherland, the Cook Islands. Whereabouts in the Cook Islands does your family come from?
If I'm going to be completely honest,
that's what we're here for.
No idea. All I know is that my parents were brought up in a small town in New Zealand called Huntly. So when my Nana and Papa were here, they would used to give us lessons back at home because like we were still young, and because we grew up in Australia, we didn't really know much of our history or our background. So I think now that I'm older, I would love to get to know more about my heritage and my culture, because every time I go back home, I get called plastic. So I got to try my hardest to learn more about my culture, where my family's originally from.
And do you know the reasons why your family migrated from the Cook Islands to New Zealand and then New Zealand to Australia?
I think because my uncle, Stevie Berriman, he got offered a contract with Manly Sea Eagles when he was quite young. So he made a big move with my papa when he was about, I think, maybe fresh 17, 18 years old. And then slowly my mum and my dad came over and made the move with him to, like, support my uncle and to, like, help out and just to get a taste of something different.
Well, that explains whenever I hear the Berriman, I automatically think of all the Berrimans that are in the Northern Beaches. And I mentioned off air that I got to play with your uncle, Harry Berriman. He was a great rugby league player. And then also seeing the stuff that he's doing with his family. And it seems like you've got a really strong, athletic, well-known family in both rugby league, rugby union, and also touch.
Yeah, I think I'm very super grateful for having a sporty family is because my uncle would always run these little family clinics like during the holidays, like we call it 5 a.m. sessions, and every 5 a.m. every day he would run fitness, skills, contact blocks and stuff like that. So for the past 2 to 3 years, we'd always do training every morning on our holidays. So I think if it wasn't for him, I personally wouldn't be where I am now.
Man, well, I got to play with Dion Berriman at the Force of one of your cousins, and I was lucky enough to meet your late uncle or cousin, Norm Berriman, the famous All Black man. So I met him over there in Perth, and I was starstruck to see him because I remember him from back in the day. He was a beast. But I know you might not know too much about your Cook Island culture or where they're from, but what's something about the Cook Islands that runs through you how your family express Cook Island culture, even though you're living in Australia?
I think just how welcoming everyone is like the culture. Everyone's so close, like everyone cares about one another. Like you could be someone moving or someone completely new and they'll welcome you with open arms and like just make sure you're safe and you're okay. So I think just that culture, like family and stuff, is really important. and just knowing that everyone's there for one another.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think the Cook Islands people have to be up there with some of the most talented, best singers, best dancers.
What else just, we got, Sammy? Just behind the Tongans, just behind the Tongans. No.
And then what about your upbringing? Whereabouts did you grow up and what was your upbringing like?
So I grew up in Manly, so on the Northern Beaches, and my upbringing was really like family orientated, very sporty. I started playing touch football when I was about 5 years old. I was surrounded by so many athletes, like my mum, my dad was a ref, my sisters, my aunties, uncles and all cousins. Like every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day we would go to a touch field. Either my parents are training or I'm just like watching and getting babysat by like all these older people that are still training and stuff. So I think I was very fortunate to grow up in a very sporty household, play touch football for a very long time. And then we moved up to the Central Coast when I was about, I'd say about 11 years old. So I think that was kind of hard from being around family and stuff constantly to moving up to the Central Coast and like kind of starting fresh, not really knowing anyone, not having cousins or aunties, uncles up there. Even though it's about an hour and a half drive, I think I found it hard because I love being around my cousins. I just love being with everyone. And then got used to the Central Coast. And then when I was about 18, I moved back down to Sydney to start a career in sevens.
One thing that's always really cool to hear about when we have our guests on is just the influence of their parents during their journey, their upbringing when it comes to footy. Can only imagine it would have been very competitive. And for good or bad, some of the examples that they gave, what was it like for your parents when you were coming through and their influence of competitive sport?
Yeah, it was, like you said, very competitive. But just seeing my mum love the game of touch, I just don't think I've ever met someone who loves touch more than my mum. So there would be like, she'll be coaching, but she would be coaching any of our family. She'll just be coaching because she just loves touch. And my dad's always like, where's my wife at? And I was like, oh, she's at touch. and then also like seeing my uncles and all the younger ones, like because they all play together, I think seeing them play touch in a team is very, very amazing. Seeing Tylan play with his dad, I'm like, you don't really get that opportunity to play with your kids. So seeing all the families playing with one another is always, it's always special to watch.
Yeah, it's inspiring when I see your Uncle Harry's videos and, you know, the stuff that he's doing with your family. You know, growing up around in such a strong sporting family, what are your memories like of those training sessions or playing? You know, were they tough? Were they, or was it more competitive?
I'd say traumatizing. I should say that. But at the time my coaches were my aunties. So you can only imagine how that was having your auntie coach you. But it was honestly fun because I get to play with my cousins. But yeah, I'd always get yelled at, would get a couple of hidings there. but yeah, I'd say if it wasn't for my family, my aunties, uncles, all of them, like, because they're my why, if it wasn't for them, I definitely wouldn't be where I am now because they pushed me, they trained me to become the better version I am. Even if I don't want to do it, like I wake up and say, no, I don't want to train, I get a message saying, get your ass up, you're coming.
Well, we've had the Hopuates on a couple of times and some of the stories about their dad, like it's crack up, but I can imagine it would be traumatic at the same time. But it's actually cool to hear from a different point, like the aunties this time,
not
so much the male side. But what's an auntie story have you got for us that really sticks out in your memory?
I'd say one of my aunties, her name's Auntie Roja. She's pretty much been my coach growing up because at the time her daughter was also playing as well. So if she was angry, she would just yell at myself and the daughter. Even if it's not our fault, we could be like on the bench. We could literally be on the bench and she'll yell on the field saying, Faith, what the heck was that? What are you doing? And I was like, I'm right here. I'm right next to you.
Just the scapegoats. I like it.
Yes. I can't answer back or I get a hiding. I'm just like, yep. And then I just go home and cry to my mom. And my mom's like, toughen up. Yeah, okay.
Now, you went on to, like, you're very early. You're still early in your footy career, but you've been already such a, you know, had a successful early journey representing Australia at the Olympics and, you know, playing at the highest level in the sevens game. Now, when you look at your career so far, the success you've had, who is the one person that would say has had the biggest influence in your development, in your game, and also your the lifestyle that you live? Now, this could be a family member, it could be a coach, it could be anyone. So, yeah, who's had the biggest influence on you, do you think?
The person that comes to mind is obviously my parents, but it would be our old S&C. His name's Tom Carter. He recently just moved to the Tars, the Waratahs. He was honestly the most brutal S&C I've ever had. But if it also wasn't for him, I definitely wouldn't be in his program. Like he, because let's be real, like us darker people aren't really fit. you know, like we're just like, oh, that's not our genetics. But he honestly took the time to take five of us girls every Fridays, every Sundays, and he pushed us and pushed us to be the best. And if it wasn't for him for believing in us girls, majority of us wouldn't be in this program. But because he believed and he knew what he saw in us, that we were capable of doing this, of playing rugby sevens, he didn't give up on us and he pushed us to be the best.
I love hearing them stories because I feel like every successful athlete, or especially us Islanders, we have to be pushed in a certain way to, sometimes we don't have that natural gift of being the fittest, and we always have that person that has guided us and taught us to, you know, be more resilient. And I've got mine, you know, just like you have, Tom.
Yeah, old TC, I played with and against Tommy Carter. He wasn't
one of the stories.
Yeah, he wasn't the most, to be honest, he wasn't the most talented player, but he was that player that would chirp all game and the team would just the opposition would get so frustrated at him and then would just focus all the attention on him, and that's how he got under your skin. And yeah, he made the most of his ability, like, and he was brutal, not as just the, like what you're talking about, because I was young coming through. Yeah, he treated us the same way, fat, lazy, all this. Yeah, but you've played on some of the biggest stages, the Olympics. I don't think you can get any bigger than that. You went there in the Tokyo Olympics. I understand it was a COVID Olympics, but what was that like telling your family that you are now going to the Olympics and you're going to represent Australia?
Yeah, I think at the time my family were just very happy. Like they were just like so excited, and they were like, all your hard work is because you did the hard work. Like you made this team because you worked hard. You made a lot of sacrifices, and the coaches are seeing how much effort you're putting in. So they were really happy. But because of COVID, I had to FaceTime them because we couldn't really see one another because I was living in Sydney and they were living up the coast. So I think that was kind of hard, not physically seeing my family. But yeah, they were happy for me, and they were just excited.
I've just seen that the number of different places that you've played, you know, South Africa, Tokyo, over in England. Geez, that'd be some fun experiences getting to dive into different cultures and see different things. What has been some of your highlights so far in your playing career in terms of the places that you've got to experience?
If someone was to ask me what's your favourite World Series stop, 100% hands down Cape Town.
Yes.
Cape Town is honestly, the vibe there is unbelievable. Like just you go around, walk around the street, everyone's so happy, like they're smiling. You've got people dancing, singing, they're so welcoming. And like I said, it's like more family orientated people. And the crowd, like the atmosphere is just unbelievable. Like that's one place I absolutely is in love with, is Cape Town.
See, rugby league, it doesn't offer those type of experiences, mate.
Yeah, like,
Cape Town is by far the best place to tour to. You've got the on-field and then off-field. The food experience, you can't beat that. So
you're using Cape Town to try and recruit players back to rugby union in Australia. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's a new one, mate.
You wouldn't understand if you haven't been there. Trust me. Trust me on this. I haven't watched all of your 96 tries, but I've seen a fair few of them. It's quite amazing, especially the two tries in the final against Fiji for the Comm Games. But I noticed you do – is this a try – the blow the kiss to the crowd? Is that your thing? And who are you blowing the kiss to?
So that's actually new because I've got a partner. We've been together for about a year and a bit. And he told me, when you score a try, why don't you give me a little celebration? Even though my family have been asked, can you do a TW sign, which means Te Whānau, like that means family. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it, not going to do it. And then my partner comes waltzing. I was like, oh, can you give me kisses? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then my dad was like, oh, true. And they've been trying for about 4 years to get me to do a TW sign. But I'm just lucky that my cousins are here. So one of my cousins does a TW sign.
So that's young puppy love there still, you know. Yeah, go 10 years, see if you're still blowing the kisses.
And so what's next? What's coming up next for the Rugby Sevens?
Today's our last day of pre-season. So now we head to Dubai on Sunday. And our team list just got put out this morning. And like I said before, my cousin Lala is debuting. So we've got three of us on the World Series who are first cousins who will be playing with one another, which is exciting.
Oh, cool. Before I get to the fun stuff, I know we said one more, but I'll put one more. So what is your toughest challenge so far, and how does that rank to the loss in the bronze medal match in the Olympics? Sorry for rewinding.
It's a tough one.
I think it's very hard, like trying to bounce back, because like we trained so hard for the Olympics or just for this big event. And then when we don't place what we wanted to place, mentally I found it very hard to try and bounce back. But I think what helped me personally was having the support, like having all of us girls protect one another, be there for one another. We always say like protect the sisterhood. And at that very moment, we all protected one another. We ignored the outside noise and we just focused on ourselves. We all just said, you know what? We didn't get what we wanted to do, but let's just go out there and let's just give it our all. Let's play for one another, play for your family, play for yourself. And I think having that talk and just knowing that we all have each other's back, that helped me pick myself up and was like, yeah, okay, like I can't cry now. You can cry later. Like I've got one more job to do. Let's like do it. And then I think when we didn't win, that was very tough, but we were like to each other. We gave it our all. We left it out. We left nothing in the tank, so we can't be hard on ourselves. Like, yes, we could have changed little bits and pieces, but in that moment, in that time, like we gave it our all. That's all we could ask for.
I love that. Protect the sisterhood. And we always say all of our athletes that are playing at this level, you know, you're already winning. You're a winner before kickoff. So, and anything after that's a bonus. So thank you for sharing. And I do appreciate that that bit of knowledge and advice that you gave to everyone. All right, to the fun stuff.
Oh, geez.
These are easy. Yeah.
Would you rather sing the Australian anthem in front before a big event, so a big game, let's call it the before the Olympics, and then they have their national anthem sung before your game. Would you rather sing that anthem or do the Cook Island dance, the hula, in front of the sisterhood?
I would do the cookie dance in front of the sisterhood so I can express my culture, and so they can be like, oh, like, yes, okay. Like, so they can get a different view of what culture is.
I love that. Can you cookie dance?
Nope.
Have you ever had to?
Nope, I have not. Wow. But I have seen my cousin do it. I see my cousin's do it, and I was like, okay, like moving the hips. I'm like, I'm a bit uncoached.
Just swing the hips.
And I can't sing either.
There you go. And then your favorite island food?
My favorite island food would be, honestly, growing up, I wasn't a huge fan of boil up. But now that I'm older, I'm actually really starting to like boil up. So I'd say boil up.
Yes, I love boil up, especially when you go traveling and they don't have boil up or like on all the other countries. I used to love coming back from the UK and it would be, you know, the most simplest food, whether it's boil up or chop suey. And I'll be falling in love with mum's cooking. So thank you very much for sharing that. And thank you for being here today. It's been a huge honour to have you here and share your experiences and your stories. I know that a lot of our young Pacific Islander girls will gain a lot of advice from your words. So we appreciate you. And on behalf of Nijan Footy, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Nijan Knowledge.
Yes, it is Nesian Knowledge. We are at the back end of the show where we get a little bit competitive here. Not too many Nesian Knowledges to go.
Three left, including today.
And we are locked horns.
Yes, 20.
Two Titans coming together. Yes, is that right?
Two Bulls. Titans, whatever you want to call it, mate. I've come to the stage where I'm just like, just go with it. Don't think too much into it.
You're happy now because it's a draw. That's why I don't think too much into it. I gave him the hardest questions last week, and now it's my turn to return serve and give you my questions, T.
Wait. Explain to the listeners what we're playing for.
Oh, mate, if they don't know by now that you ask the worst questions I keep losing.
What was the chicken's name? Hey. See, easiest question on earth should be thanking me. The loser at the end of the season has to get a Nesian Footy tattoo on their bottom, and we are locked at 20.5 each. Sammy will be asking me three questions. We've got three episodes to go, so next week will be my last three questions to you.
This is a big one. This could be make or break. T.
In come the rugby union questions.
It is all rugby union today. It is all rugby union, just to get, hopefully you get none of these right. And I'm going to start with a who am I. You did a who am I last week, so it's my turn.
You did know my who am I person, by the way.
You should know this bloke too. If you watch the footy on the weekend, you should know.
Fione.
Who am I? I am a PNG rugby player. Is that a good clue so far?
No.
I've played for the Reds, the Queensland Reds.
Ooh.
I was called into the Wallabies team for this Northern Hemisphere tour for the injured Tom Robinson. I came off the bench against Scotland. I'll stop there just to see if you've got an idea.
No chance.
PNG player. All right, his initial, his first initial starts with Z.
Z? Is it really?
Yeah.
Zion? Nah, I don't know. No. I have no idea.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't. I was hoping you'd say Will Genya. Just we were going in that track, but now Zane Nongol came off the bench.
Is he a tall guy?
Nah, he's a prop.
See,
yeah,
big guy.
Tall, big guy. Yeah, he's a tall big guy.
Zane Nongol.
Nah, this one's a bit easier. Out of the 12 Nesian stars for the Wallabies that I mentioned earlier, how many are Samoan? Out of the 12,
it's PNG. So that's one out. Suli'i, Skelton. So I got two. Is there any Fijians? Fiji. I'm just going to take a big guess and go with five.
Oh, so close. Six.
Oh, I was going to say four if not.
That was very close. Okay. My last question, because I had nothing else left. How many Fijians were there out of that 12?
So six. One PG, seven.
Yeah.
There has to be some Tongans.
There has to be some Tongans in there.
We're dealing with five left. We're going to go with, is there only one? Two.
Ding, ding, ding. Two, my bro.
Oh, beauty. We got a point.
Rob Valentini and Lungi Gleeson. But well done, T. You got 1 point. So you take the lead. 21.5 plays. 20.5. Outstanding work. Well, that's our time up for today for Nesian Footy. Make sure you tell your tokos, tell your usos, wherever you find your podcasts, listen to us and catch up on chats with Samoan De La Selva'a and Tongan skipper Tash Penatani, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just type in Nesian Footy. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.